In today's episode, I would like to take you on a journey. On a journey through the highlights of the last 8 years. And I looked at him and said, Fredrik, I should do what? I had no clue what a podcast even was. Hello and a warm welcome to a very special Lightwolf podcast episode. Today we are celebrating a milestone, a major milestone together. 8 years of Lightwolf podcast. I would never have believed at the beginning of this that we would get this far, that we would want to go this far, and we are going to go even much further. 8 years full of inspiring conversations, fantastic, truly accomplished, highly accomplished personalities who were guests here in the Lightwolf podcast. They shared valuable tips on exciting topics all about leadership, strategy, and change. In today's episode, I would like to take you on a journey through the highlights of the last 8 years. My team, Hannah and I, we have selected 8 of my favorite episodes. And when she suggested, I said, bingo, that's exactly this. These were my favorite highlights of 8 years of Lightwolf podcasts. Conversations with extraordinary people, learnings of enormous value, special moments that really went deep, and they inspired me a lot, and maybe they informed you or inspired you a bit as well. To mark 8 years of Lightwolf podcasts, I've also released a new podcast trailer today, which you can listen to right after this episode. I hope you enjoy it. But before we start with the highlights, I'd like to take you back. Back to the year when we started. Do you know how the Lightwolf podcast started? The first episode went online in January 2017. Back then, the world was different. There were maybe 1,000, not even 2,000 podcasts available. Today, there was much more than 20,000 podcasts available. So the situation changed a lot. This was way before the pandemic. This was way before the latest wars. This was a different time in many ways. Back then, when we started, I was sitting here at my desk, excited, a little uncertain whether anyone would be interested in listening to the Lightwolf podcast. Today, 8 years later, I'm deeply grateful for the response, for your loyalty, for your feedback. Thank you for being part of this journey. Now, let's get back to the first moment when it all started. Around that time in January 2017, we as a company had just a few years under our belt, started in 2009 and really got going in 2013. So by 2017, a few people here in the team, a few dozen clients, already the core of our today's service offering, and a LinkedIn profile at 900 or 1,000 followers, and a very motivated, very good LinkedIn consultants who helped us get some basics laid down. A wonderful man, very successful social media entrepreneur. His name is Frederik Schröder. If you want to look him up, he's a great guy. So if you need support in his areas of expertise, particularly in the field of social media selling, go see Frederik's website, please. So Frederik at the time looked at me at the end of a 2 or 3 hours consulting session we had live in Hamburg and said, Stefan, you know what? In our exchange, I'm learning that you know quite a lot. You have a lot of experience. You've been a leader in the corporate world for more than 25 years, and you started your own business, and that's not something many people do. You have so much experience. You should share all that. I said, okay, Frederik, thank you for the flowers, but what do you mean? Yeah, you should do a podcast. And I looked at him and said, Frederik, I should do what? I had no clue what a podcast even was. And he saw it in my eyes and said, Stefan, okay, audiobook. I said, okay, Frederick, I understand. Audiobook, I like, I understand. Yeah, and that is called podcast today. I said, fine, then why not, right? And he repeated, you have to share it. You should just try it. Yeah? Your listeners will enjoy it because they will save time, or they will use time twice, right? They invest time into walking the dog, and on their ears, they listen to you. Or they invest time into doing their workout in the morning, and on their ears, they listen to you. So they basically upgrade their use of time by doing something that matters to them while at the same time listening to one of your podcasts. And for you, Stefan, it's going to be fun. And I said, you know what, Frederick, deal, let's try it. So why not? Let's try. So I sit down, and my first ever Lightwolf podcast took me one entire day. I sat down and thought, okay, what might be interesting? What is relevant to you? I wrote a very specific script where every word was really nailed with precision. I did a recording and I didn't like it. I recorded again and I didn't like it. And so it took me a whole day to do episode number one, 2017. We put it on air. I did recording myself. And a month later, we read 31 downloads. Okay. So that's a fact. It's out and 31 people clicked. But we had no clue whether 31 is bad or good or indifferent. We didn't know. I just said, you know what? We are going to continue. I think this is going to work one day. And it works. A year later, it was 600 downloads, then 1,800 downloads, then 3,000, then 7,000 a month. And in the strongest month, we've had around 13,000 downloads in 1 month. So 13,000 times people on all five continents checking in here, participating in the conversation, in the exchange about what good leadership is. So that's how it started. With Friedrich Schröder and a question to a man, i.e. me, who didn't even know what a podcast was. Thank you, dear Frederick, for getting us going. I think today I know that this decision taken 8 years ago to start doing podcasts, to invest time into a medium I didn't have experience with, was one of the best decisions I've done in my professional career. Not only has it helped others, because many of you came back unpromptedly more and more with feedback how it helps you. And I feel grateful for receiving this feedback. It also helped me myself, because while sharing what I've learned, I'm clarifying my own thinking. I think I'm improving a little bit my own impact for my work with my team and with my clients. And the wonderful guests, the topics enriched me time and time again. Let's start with an absolute highlight. My conversation with Christian Ramig. Christian is a highly accomplished senior executive at SC Johnson. He used to be the general manager of Central Europe, and on his success and his leadership skills got promoted to the second biggest country cluster in that company in the world. It's in Asia. He's now running 11 or 12 markets over there in Asia. Congratulations, Christian. Well-deserved. Outstanding track record and an outstanding leader. And he was my guest. And this episode, I can, I will, I do, is his motto, is his leadership principle to run his organizations. This episode is so special and important to me because both Christian and I used to have the same boss, a leader named Michael Bernhörster, who awakened in me the awareness of the impact of good leadership when he was my boss. And his behavior and his personality is the catalyst for me starting my own journey to work on my leadership skills that ended up in founding a leadership transformation company. And it ended up in founding this Lightwolf podcast. And that very same Michael Bernhörster also inspired Christian Ramig to develop his own clear leadership principles. These communicate self-confidence with I can. They communicate willpower with I will. And they communicate drive with I do. I can, I will, I do. the Leadership Principles of Christian Ranek. Listen in to this snippet following now.
So when I joined 3 years ago, I also got to learn about a leadership culture where, you know, in meetings, important decisions were not taking place and were just focused on the highest, you know, ranked person in the room. Everybody was staring at the highest person in the room to make a decision, and which actually was usually me, was the GM. And that bothered me, and not so much because I don't like to make decisions. I really like, but because those people responsible for, you know, the respective tasks, those people responsible in the room, they did not want to take over the responsibility. Although they were, I would say, quite capable to make decisions themselves or at least make a recommendation for a decision. And by the way, they usually, you know, they are much more experts than I am looking into that from the outside. So if I take, for example, our monthly demand planning meeting, where the forecast for the next few months will be developed, the demand planner, together with the sales leader, the marketing leader, and the supply leader, they usually the experts. They know the forecast and they have to come to a decision. I'm there to sign off the decision. That's fine. But I expect, you know, that the decision will be made by the people responsible for the business.
A very personal episode was the kiss of the wolf. It's about my first physical encounter with a wolf who grew up in the wilderness. I knew before this meeting with the wolf, I knew from my entire life that humans mirror human behavior. What I learned in this encounter, and I wish we had a photo or a video, I just didn't think of it at the time. I know since this magic moment with the wolf, we had 2 minutes of eye contact, a meter away from each other, on eye level. I was really stressed. I was scared. Because it's not frequent that I hold my face to a wolf who had grown up in the wild. And I assume he was stressed as well, because he intuitively knew I could be a risk for him. We just had 2 minutes of silent eye contact until he lowered his ears, lowered his head, came forward, in between my legs, came up and licked square through my face, which is the sign in the wolf's pack, you're okay, you're part of this pack right now, come in and join us. I'm still getting goosebumps now from forehead to shin years later when I share this. So if you're interested in this, listen into the snippet, the kiss of the wolf.
But then once the feeding was over, I asked the woman who is looking after these wolves, I asked her, Mrs. Ascani, what do you think? Do you think I'm strong enough to go inside? And then she looked at me for a few seconds and said, okay, Stefan, I think perceiving you right now, you're calm enough and you're strong enough. So why not go inside? So she opened the cage. In I went, behind me she closed, and I sat down on a wooden bench right behind the fence. And then I was waiting. And then just a few moments later, those three wolves were coming my way. The first one just looked at me and apparently found me pretty boring. There was a little piece of meat lying around on the ground that was much more exciting. So he turned over to his meat. The second one was already more interested, got close, and got close enough to sniff my hand, and then again turned away. But the third one apparently was really interested. That third animal, that third wolf, was about 1.5 meters away from me, and we were on eye level because I had chosen to immediately sit down and be on eye level rather than being top down. And probably for 1 minute, we had eye contact, looked into each other's eyes, and were completely silent. And after about 1 minute, that wolf decided to kind of lower his ears, lower his head, come walking towards me, and right in between my legs came back up and licked square through my face. What a magic moment. I wish I had videotaped this experience. It's going to stay with me for a lifetime anyway. And I think I know this inspired this podcast. A Kiss from a Wolf, Conquer Your Fear. Why this title? Well, you bet. I was shit scared. I was scared. And I bet without having measured it, my blood pressure, my pulse must have been double my normal levels. But I also expect, without knowing this animal well enough, I also expect this wolf must have been scared as well. Because he didn't know me. Because he knows that humans in general are a danger to wolves. So he might have experienced something very similar. Fear, concern, stress. But I think what we did in these 60 seconds was simply to mutually not show the fear, to not send the stress signal, to show respect, to be on eye level. And I think all of these things led to that wolf making me this wonderful present of coming forward, giving me a huge kiss, licking square through my face, and adopting me into his pack. What a wonderful moment.
Another highlight was my conversation with David Taylor. David was my direct boss for 3 years, later on ran one of the biggest consumer goods companies in the world, an $80 billion business with more than 100,000 people in the organization. He was the CEO for 7 years, and he is a gentleman for whom I would walk through fire, because he combines in a rare fashion those two most impactful skills of a leader. Enormous willpower to get the right thing done, paired with enormous and sheer endless personal humility. A pleasure to have worked for him, and a pleasure to have him here as a guest in the Lightwolf podcast. Listen to him.
If you can get people thinking about what's possible, you'll often find a new solution to a problem you couldn't solve in the past. So can't is a word I want out of the vocabulary, frankly, of the organization. Instead, it's just, I don't know how to do it yet. I don't have the right solution yet. We're not growing share yet. We don't have the results that we want yet, but then it opens up. How are we gonna make whatever it is we need to address? How are we gonna address it effectively?
What is the most important one thing about P&G that remained the same? And has there been anything that evolved or changed over those four decades?
The short answer is what's remained the same are two things. Our purpose, values, and principles, and a focus on serving the consumer. When we do those well, then we tend to stay focused. And our belief is the two things you must have to do that well is great people and great brands. Because people are the greatest resource to bring it to life, and are the brands or articulation to the consumers we serve. Because ultimately, that's all they see. They see the brand that they buy and the experience they have. But if you think about our purpose, values, and principles, and a focus on serving the consumer, working with people and brands, and frankly, innovation is the translation of all that capability and people to our brands, that's been pretty consistent throughout what is now just past 40 years. How to do that has changed dramatically. The level of complexity, the scope has changed dramatically from when I started out as a shift team manager in a manufacturing plant in 1980 to now as the CEO of a company of about 100,000 people that is over 70 billion US in sales. That's changed scope, but how to accomplish desired outcomes hasn't changed dramatically. It's been about doing that. How do you do? You take great people, create a culture that empowers them, a strategy of very clear choices, brands to bring that to life to the consumers, and outstanding execution every day in every country on every brand. That formula to me works. How to do that and the many things that come at us has changed significantly. The technology to do so, the tools that we have developed tremendously, but it's about people, culture, strategy, brands, and execution. And to me, that's been pretty consistent. And I try not to get to make things more complex than they need to, and try to get down to how do you take a group of individuals that have great talent, and how do we collectively accomplish to me, outstanding results. And what I'd want the outcome to be is sustained excellence in a way that builds organizational capacity.
Let's continue with another interview. And that's with Hanneke Faber. She's a very impressive leader who I had the honor of working with in the early parts of our career, and who I had the honor of welcoming here as a guest in the Lightwolf podcast. She is continuing her exceptional career, and today she is the CEO of Logitech. The reason why I was so keen on inviting Hanneke is that she has an outstanding skill. I perceive her to be extremely good at connecting the what and the how. Connecting the what, i.e. the business perspective, the business performance, the business result, and the how, i.e. leading people, not leading machines. So the what and the how, and I think she is exceptionally strong at that, as she is exceptionally strong at many other things. So listen for yourself, Hanneke Faber.
What stuck in my mind, Hanneke, is it takes 200 years to establish gender diversity alone if we keep on going at the same pace. And that's one of the examples. I also agree, and what happened last week in the US is simply horrible. There is so much that needs to be changed and done. And still, many companies struggle. Many teams talk but don't do. And there is still such a wide gap between current reality and the right levels of diversity. Your example at Ahold Delhaize shows it can be done, but it's not yet a reality broad scale. So based on your perspective, what are the challenges in establishing diversity much more broadly?
Yeah, a great question. And, I'm pretty clear on, I have seen where it worked. And I think Unilever is one place where it has worked pretty well. But I've also seen where it hasn't worked. So I'd say four things. And again, even at Unilever, we're not quite there. Huh? So we still have to work on this hard. First of all, I think you have to set targets and ideally make those targets public. So Unilever here is a good example. I mentioned in 2010, and I wasn't here, so it's not my doing. In 2010, Paul Polman and the Unilever executive team said, we're going to go to 50% female managers, which at the time seemed crazy. They made that public, and then everyone was responsible. They worked it into people's performance reviews. They tracked it every year. And made it part of people's reward system as well. So that was critical. And many companies talk a good game, but they don't translate it into targets or make those targets public. Actually, I think the EU is another nice example this year when they had to appoint commissioners, and they were very clear from the start that half of them would be women. Setting targets and making them public, really important. Second, I think as individual leaders, we need to be sponsors of minority candidates. And I don't mean mentors. Mentoring is nice, but sponsoring means you seek out minority candidates and you put them in key P&L roles. Maybe it's a little bit Sheryl Sandberg's lean in. When you think CEOs, kids always draw a white older male. And that is our unconscious bias. So we have to, on purpose, overcome that as leaders, sponsor people who don't look like that, seek them out, put them in key P&L roles. Don't only put them in, HR and market research, the dreaded R's, key P&L roles. So that's the second one. And then third, as a company like Unilever, Procter & Gamble, and Procter is also very good at this, we have a big role to play in what we at Unilever call hashtag unstereotype. We're the biggest advertiser in the world alongside with P&G. So we have a big role to play in what pop culture reflects. If we only see black men as being arrested in movies for violence, that's how kids are taught to think of them. If all CEOs are pictures as white males, the same. So I'm proud of what some of our brands have done. You know, Dove with the campaign for Real Beauty, which shows women from all kinds of life and with all kinds of looks. But we still have a ways to go. Still, too often, we use stereotypes, not because we want to, but because it's just, you know, it just comes naturally. So hashtag unstereotype is another really important thing to establish diversity more broadly in our company, but very much also in society at large, which would bring me to the last point. You know, even with the most, you know, politically correct, woke, fantastic people, we all have unconscious bias. So we train for that, but it is hard to shed, and we all got to do our very, very best to shed it.
Now, in addition to those interviews with highly accomplished leaders, I am often doing solo episodes that I'm speaking alone, where I'm sharing my learning, I'm sharing my observations, I'm sharing my biggest mistakes and my biggest insights about an important topic of leadership. This particular one I'd like to share now is about empowerment. Delegating responsibility and letting go is one of the biggest challenges for any manager or leader. And this episode is so special and so important because on the one hand side, the topics of empowering, delegating, letting go, coaching are so central to good leadership. And it's a bit emotional and funny to me because I have to laugh about myself because this episode reminds me of my first year being a leader. Yes, big responsibility, 280 million euros in sales, two fantastic brands, six terrific people all reporting to me. They were my peers until yesterday. And since this morning, they are my team reporting to me. And believe me, I think in the beginning, I really struggled with some of the elements of empowering. It didn't hurt. We had outstanding business results. Our market grew 1%. We grew 7%. So we grew much faster than the market. And all six got promoted within 3 years. So everyone did well. Still in the first year, I behaved like a hen, like a mother hen, right? Sitting on them rather than letting go. So if this is interesting to you, if you'd like to learn how Stefan was as a leader in the early days, and if you'd like to learn my most succinct insights and learning about empowerment, you can listen to the following episode. Take the attitude and give everyone the conviction that what you transfer matters. It's important. It's important for the company, and it's important for the development of the other individual. If it wasn't important for the company, you would stop the activity. You wouldn't invest any time to it at all. So if you do it, then it must be important. And if it's important, then please let others feel it. Important for the company, for the team, and for the development of the other person. Let people feel it. Then choose the right person. Do not just go for the next best person with free capacity or for your best horse in the stable, where you know this is an incredibly reliable pair of hands and they will deliver on time in full and it's easy for you. Don't do that, at least not as a standard rule. Rather, select someone who has individual strengths that are important for this particular task. Someone who has never done this task before because she or he should and wants to learn the task. That's a good choice. That's a good person to give this responsibility to. Another key insight. Sometimes less is really more. Much more. That's why the Radically Simplify episode went down so well with you and the entire Lightwolf community. In this episode, I talk about how you can reduce stress and gain speed. How is that possible? Some people ask. I know it's possible. And I mention this episode here because of our human bias to add things on top, particularly when under pressure. Way too often have I heard C-levels complain about their CEO, or CEOs complain about their chairman of the board when there was pressure on the business. They were always asking for more projects, more projects, more projects, more work, more work, more work. And in many cases, this is not a good idea, because more work does not necessarily lead to more results or to better results. In quite a number of cases, it's much better to do the opposite, to stop doing what's not essential, to just stop doing those nice to have small details because they eat up time. It's much better to do fewer things, but better, right? And what's in the way often is the human bias to add. Yeah? A great research once published that I'm also taking as an inspiration for this podcast is from an American woman, professor in one of the US universities. And she shares a study where highly educated students are given a very simple task, Lego bricks. Here is a brick and mortar house made of Lego bricks. And there is one corner of this house where there is one single cornerstone that's elevated. On top, there is a platform, a Lego platform on top. And the task is, there is a 2 kilogram brick that needs to be put on top this house, which currently is unstable because of this one little cornerstone. And you have any option at your disposal, including adding 10 more stones to increase stability. However, for every individual stone you add, from your €1 reward you'll get upon success, you get 10 cents deducted. So there you find themselves sitting in front of this thing. And the solution is so simple. You take the platform off, you eliminate that one cornerstone, so you simplify, take one stone off, put the platform one level down, press it tight, and done. You take things off. But what do students do in this research? Far more than half of them do not do the simple thing, but they add stones on top, despite losing their reward. Yeah? So that's another simple evidence that too many times, too many people under pressure add work on top rather than taking work away. So that's why I think it's important. And that's why it reminds me and everyone of the need for simplification. Listen in. And here comes the question to you and me. How can we help? How can you help yourself? How can you help your boss? How can you help everyone around you? By cutting and stripping away the crap. By cutting away the stuff that once was started because it looked handy. But over time, it became clear and evident that it's not really needed. It's producing more cost than value. What can you do to simplify life and work for your team? So number one, cut the crap. Stop the stuff that is not useful. Idea number two, focus on what matters the most. I think the best leaders understand, are curious, they listen, they have a thrive to constantly improve. I think the best leaders I've seen, it's always 4 women and 4 men coming to my mind who I learned a lot from. I think what separates these exceptional leaders from many others is they knew their business, they knew their customers. They knew what their customers really want. And then they worked hard to make sure that everyone in the organization helped to offer customers what they want. Because our boss is not the real boss, with all due respect, boss. But our customers are the boss, because they pay our bills. And I think that's the lesson I think is worth reflecting about. Design your business, design your brand, design your company such that it delivers what clients really want. But never do things that create more cost than value. Never do things that your customers would never be willing for to pay. Cut out the crap. Focus only on what's most important. Another very popular solo episode is about the power of your inner attitude. Inner attitude to not only influence your own actions, but those around you. This episode is about the power that comes from your attitude. And attitude is not something that happens to us. Attitude is something we can choose every morning and every minute. So, this episode touches me so much because the attitude you adopt in life, in a relationship, towards a problem is so decisive for your impact, for your success, for your satisfaction, and for your fulfillment. It reminds me of a real example I experienced more than 5 years ago with the CHRO of a DAX company describing to me in detail how much he and the roughly 10,000 employees were suffering at the time from the toxic behavior of a CEO who was about to soon be leaving the company. Individual executive coaching with me, great conversation, long conversation. I listened and then asked one simple question. What is your most important realization now? And the CHRO stepped back and said, Stefan, I have to take action. And I was so thrilled that this man came to that realization, that he changed his attitude. I was so thrilled that I did this podcast called The Power of Your Inner Attitude.
Do you want to let the wrong thing happen and just watch it? Or do you prefer standing up for what is right, even if it hurts a little? When you make mistakes, do you look at the individual and ask the question of guilt? Who's to blame? Or do you look at the whole system and ask yourself, why do they do what they do and not what makes more sense? And how can we improve the entire system such that everyone in the system has the right incentives to do the right thing?
Those were my 8 highlights from 8 years of the LightWolf podcast. Thank you for being part of this journey. I would be very happy if you could write your own highlights in the Spotify comments and vote in the Spotify poll on how long you have been listening to the LightWolf podcast. Please be so kind, invest 5 seconds. That's what it takes. Thank you in advance. And finally, I have a surprise for you. As a thank you to you, my loyal community, I'm giving away access to 1 free LightWolf Academy. An entire year together with me, access to all my knowledge, access to all my tools, access to my best processes for 1 entire year in LightWolf Academy. So you will have a chance in a very compact way in just 1 year to step change your own leadership. Because LightWolf Academy doesn't include all the many things that are exciting. It just includes the very few things that you have to master as a leader. How you lead people, how you lead yourself, how you lead your boss, how you lead a team, how you lead leaders, and how you lead in a strategic context. Short, compact learning videos that you can watch whenever you want, wherever you are, and repeat however often you want at your leisure. 30 different leadership tools to print out and put into practice. And 6 times a year, live group coaching with me. So I would be delighted if the winner is you and if I could soon welcome you in the LightWolf Academy. And what do you have to do to participate and to have a chance to win this LightWolf Academy access? Simple. Subscribe to the LightWolf podcast, leave a review, send me a screenshot of your review by email to support@stefan-hohmeister-leadership.com. You can also find the email and the link in the show notes. So that's it for today. That was 8 years of LightWolf podcast journey. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your time and your trust over those last 8 years. I look forward into the future together with you. And I look forward to welcoming you again here next week, Thursday, for the next episode of LightWolf podcast.